Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and it's greetings from sunny Bulgaria this week. Just myself and Mick McQuillan. Mick is at home in Ireland enjoying the rain. So we just had a chat with Mick about the last three games as we haven't been talking for a couple of weeks. And just our thoughts on Wolves and where we're at the moment. So hope you enjoy it.
Hey, Tony.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad.
You probably wonder why I'm wearing these.
Yeah.
I lost my glasses in the airport when I arrived on Friday night. And these are they're readers, but they're the only ones I have. I haven't been able to get a pair anywhere, so, you know, there you go.
Hey, you're the one slagging me. I'm losing my bloody passport.
Yeah, well, glasses. It's easy to get another pair of glasses, you know. Yes, you would come over on Friday. You'd be happy to hear Aer Lingus. We'd push back at about... We're a bit late, Liam, about 10 to 5, pushing back, bang, something happened, you know. So captain comes on, he says, the pin on the pushback vehicle snapped. So they had to get engineers out and check the wheel to make sure it was all right before they thought we were going to be there for hours. But luckily enough, half an hour, we were off, you know. But how did Saturday go for travelling over and back? Was it all right?
Yeah, just trying to think. Yeah, I was with, we didn't have it worked out nicely for us, I must say. We were a little late leaving the airport, but it was grand, and the trains worked in fabulous for us, you know.
Yeah.
We only got up to the train station, and the train was there, and straight up to Wolverhampton, and myself and Noel went into the Sunbeam.
Yeah.
And had a breakfast and that, and we went outside then after. No, I was having a smoke and we were sitting down there and we met Nicky the Chapman and Kay Don. So they were telling us their tale of woe at the trains.
Yeah.
You know, like a bit like with Steel does. You know the way they get the cheap options to go not direct.
They split up the journey, yeah.
They split up the journeys. But the problems they're having is that they split up the journeys once or twice, but because of cancellations.
Yeah.
And they're not able to claim their money back.
Yeah, you know. I was following the group there. Was it on Friday? Was it Noel McKillen was having trouble trying to get? Yeah. Was he in Manchester? He was coming down from or something.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter where you're coming from. That West Railway, whatever. It's you just don't know what's what. Like we went up on Sunday on Saturday night to head back to back to Birmingham. And
yeah.
Remember last week we went up for about 6:30. And I went up again. The next thing, I just seen straight away the second quarter 7-1 right to Euston. It was cancelled because of lack of staff.
Yeah.
And so I hopped on it was 6:12, which was a half an hour late. So I hopped on that straight up to the international. You know, I wasn't taking any chances. You know.
Yeah.
Noel then had to get it. He was a little bit behind, and he hopped on it. One, you had to change a Birmingham to get up, you know. So it's you can't trust it, you know.
Yeah, but and I suppose sure, as it looks now, we're traveling over nearly every week, so we're bound to get caught. But I see we're going to get caught now at Man City, early kickoff and all. Now the trains are off that day, so
yeah, we'd have to organise a taxi, even the taxi into Birmingham because the trams are working, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but it'd been 12:30. We're in 7:15 flight, so. You're talking about 8:00, even say 8:30 into Birmingham. If you've got a taxi, be there at 9:30. You know, you're still kind of pushing it to get that tram. It was 40 minutes, you know. So
yeah, well, look at that. I'm not too sure. Do you know the Transport for Wales? Are they on strike?
Yeah, but you know what happened the last day they were on strike because they closed New Street. The plan was that they'd go as far as the airport, but New Street station closed, so. That was that. They decided that Wolverhampton was going to be their start and finish point. So, you know, it wasn't any good to us. I'm just looking at Andy. I'm hoping Gary's joining us and Paul Lindsay as well. But just to see Gary, or Andy was on this evening there to say he has worries now for the AGM on the 24th of September, Saturday, the international break. So,
yeah.
and just kind of mention that so people will know about it, you know.
There's a few lads won't be there, like Paul Lindsay won't be there. They gave me, you know, some money for
the subs, yeah.
And there's a couple of the others who were there. They said they're on holidays, like that particular week.
Yeah.
And that, you know, but that's what we are. Where we are.
Ah, yeah, sure. We'll just before we get on to the matches, I suppose I was following a little bit of it the last couple of days, Mr. Costa. I believe they're appealing his work permit's been refused or whatever, but they're appealing it. I don't know whether some people are saying it's just procedure that he'll get it, or but what do you think of him?
We need something badly.
Yeah,
and it's not Andy Carroll either.
No.
If they can't get him, they're going for Andy Carroll. And I think that it'd be a shame. I can understand Costa, because to be honest with you, whether he's fit, overly fit or not, he will hold the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's a presence as well. Like, I mean, you know, Andy Carroll, I mean, I saw him there. I think, who was he with? He was with last year. Was he with West Brom for a while?
He was still with Newcastle. Yeah, wasn't he? I haven't been following him because, you know, he's a waste of space, has been for years.
Yeah. Even in his prime, I think, if you can call it his prime, I think he was very, you know, he had some big money moves, but I don't think he definitely he was never the quickest either. But I think Costa would be a good presence for us up front, you know, just to, you know, put himself about. We get 90 minutes out of him, hopefully card free, you know, we'll be hoping anyway. But I suppose there's three matches happened in the last week, so we never had a chance to talk about them. So with the Newcastle game, it summarised, we were unlucky not to win. I thought that the second goal that would have cleaned, and you know, we were all blaming VAR and all that, but I'm thinking about it afterwards, I was saying to myself, did Neto even need to foul the player or have any contact with him at all, because he was in the middle of nowhere heading back to his own goal at the halfway line. You know, if you just let him head the ball, he would have been onto it, you know. So it was a disappointing one, wasn't it, Newcastle?
I thought it was a draw was a fair result, because they had all the stats on us in that game.
Yeah,
and shots and all that.
Yeah.
And possession. The two thirds of the possession compared to us. But you look to me, I know to give away a goal like that, it was a fabulous goal. See it so late. I just said to myself, after, you know what? They deserve this, you know. Yeah. And that's the way I looked at it, because football is funny. You can be hammered on somebody, all your stats you like, and still you ain't going to win a game if you don't put that ball in the net.
Yeah, well, that's it, and that's been our problem of, you know, this season and last, and well, for probably for a while, for even longer than that. But it's kind of, we seem to be following the same pattern where, you know, we seem to be getting plenty of chances. You know, we're breaking, we're putting teams in trouble, but like putting that ball in between the sticks. I was just thinking there last week, you know, with Sepp Blatter, some of the mad suggestions he had, but, you know, we could deal with the one that he said there a few years ago about making the game more exciting, make the goals bigger, you know. So, I mean, like, following on there, like, I suppose the Bournemouth game, when he looked at it, and it was, you know, they were after getting on the end of a 9-0 at Anfield, and typical when you're playing a team like that, particularly on their own ground, then that you kind of say, "Geez, you know, it's the worst time to meet them," you know. And I only saw the first bit of that Bournemouth game. What did I overall make of the reports I was getting? Was we were like we dominated possession, but we were poor enough overall. We were very slow. What is that?
Well, my way of looking at the game was they started off very, very nervous. And of course, they had the number of lads back. And, Jesus, they really looked an awful side, you know, for the first 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they came into the game a little bit. But definitely the second half, you know, they certainly came more at us. And they did open us up a couple of times, you know.
Yeah.
The problem I seen was, it was simple. They were always going to pack the back line. after getting a hiding like that. And then the mistake that we made, and we've done it before, is that we go with three up front, so we're pushing more bodies into the box.
Yeah.
So we're trying to knock a ball about. There's no space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
We're taking up.
They needed to be taken wide, and someone get down the back. And it's amazing that the chances we had, the good chances we had, came when we broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
From defending. And that's what I mean. That's why what you need to do. They came out a lot at us in the second half, and it gave us a bit more space when we did hit. And look, it was a disappointing. Or for me, it was disappointing. 2 points dropped.
Yeah.
Because you've got to be nailing teams like that. Yeah. You know?
I suppose when you see too that they turn around and, you know, a Forest at the weekend, and they were, you know, they were 2-0 down and they came back and won 3-2. You know, so like you. Their season seems to have kicked off. But I suppose the manager, you know, manager being sacked on Monday and then, you know, going into our game and that, like, it can go one of two ways, you know. You can take advantage of it and the team were unsettled. But they certainly seem to come out the last couple of games and Bournemouth and try and prove that, you know, they were a good enough team to stay in the league anyway. So it'll be interesting.
I don't think so. I think they got Forest. The problem with Forest is they could have four different teams. They haven't a clue what their best team is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was crazy. I'll give Bournemouth something that, you know, second half against us, they were far better. And yeah. Certainly they were the same against Forest in the second half.
Yeah, but as you say, I've seen Forest a couple of times this year now, this season, and they don't seem to be. They don't seem to have any pattern or style to their play. There seem to be a lot of guys running around with the ball, and you know they're not in a good position now. But at least we have them next month anyway. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of negativity. I think after the Bournemouth game amongst fans that was 3 points there for the taking, and we didn't take them. So, but then I suppose on Saturday we finally got that. 3 points we've been looking for the six games. So what was the atmosphere like before the game?
It's fairly good. The big problem is there's not much confidence in the supporters. Like we're one defeat away from a tragedy, as a fella says. And I agree what you said there. You know, definitely a lot of people were very disappointed over dropping the 2 points down at Bournemouth. But I thought it was pretty good. There was a full crowd from our end of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was a fairly decent game. And I'll go and I'd say that I'd say they were very disappointed at the finish, that they didn't take something out of it. Because they did have one or two good chances late on in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the two headers, well, you could call them the two headers from Adams. Like the first one, you know, I couldn't believe he actually missed it with his head, and he stuck his arm up to put it in the net. So I mean, there was never a question. Like you wouldn't even call it a chance at that stage, you know. But like the header against the bar, it's funny. Like our lads seem to be getting caught the odd time with the crosses and that for two big lads. But I suppose it's probably, you know, young lads and they're probably a bit of concentration lapsing at that stage of the game, you know. But,
I tell you what I think, Tony. Look at that Saturday. I wouldn't blame the two lads, but definitely Saar twice should have came and took the ball and didn't come out. And I think that's what happened. They were expecting him to come to take it.
Yeah.
And, like even for that one with Adams with the arm ball, like what is he doing?
Oh, he pushed the ball
onto the bar.
Yeah, the one that he handled, didn't he? Kind of he went to, I don't know, when he tried to catch the ball. And it dropped.
Yeah, he palmed it up onto the crossbar and it came back down.
He slipped. Yeah. And it looked very, he was all over the place for it. But so we were lucky with that. But like we were very good, again, not putting the bloody ball in the net, but we were very good on the break against them. We kept them, like we had, I don't know, in the second half in particular, I think we'd about 4 or 5 times where we broke and we probably should have scored. Guedes looks like a guy that desperately needs to get his first goal to get him moving, you know.
Well, I thought he played very well when he came on.
Yeah,
like it was a lovely goal. Like it was a lovely move for the goal, and you know, Nunes gave a great ball, first time ball right across to Madan. So people said, look, where I was when he hit it, I said, he's had to miss hitting that.
Yeah.
And it ended up in the back of the net. And then I was watching her underneath after half time, and I said, he actually didn't. He actually went to dink him. And then it wasn't when I was looking at it, the thing later on when I got home. And I'm looking at it, and it was actually the pass from Nunes. What he actually done, he didn't put, when he crossed the ball, he didn't cross it on the surface. He put the bubble on it.
Yeah.
And the bubble went across. And that's how Madan gave the little nick. If you remember the previous game where he headed the ball back and it was just the heel of one of the defenders stopping him going into the net. And he says, I should have buried that.
Yeah.
But Madan does those little things, little dinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, they get you goals.
Yeah. Well, I think somebody was saying with the goal that they thought he was actually trying to play it in for Kalatinic for a tap in. But it was certainly, he seems to like hitting the ball into the ground anyway. But
he's done it twice or three times. But when I seen the ball that came over to him again from a different angle, and I was looking at the bubble, it was ideally set up for him to link it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was great to get the win. I mean, Southampton have been good. Like, I mean, they're came to us off the back of a win at Chelsea. Would they be Chelsea during the week, you know? So they were certainly, and they've always threatened to give us trouble. Like we beat them in January, was it? December or January last season, we beat them 3-1, and it kind of got us moving. So I mean, they're always a risky side for us. More often than not,
yeah, a number of the new players they signed, they couldn't play. You know what I mean? They couldn't start them.
Yeah.
And that, but they did to me. They were looking for a lot of stuff, three a man in the middle, but they weren't big ponies. With free kicks and things like that.
Yeah.
But like Nevis and we had it fairly well covered there. We have some great technicians on the pitch. But I'd say they were disappointed themselves that they had chances there to have got something now. And I'd say they were disappointed. But from our point of view, you know, there was huge relief.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge relief, you know what I mean?
Well,
you felt it in the ground.
Yeah.
And you felt it even after the match. People were just saying, Jesus, thank God for that.
Yeah. You know? I think it's only when you look at it, and then you look at the three games, like we were disappointed that we give away the goal late against Newcastle, nil all against Bournemouth. But at the end of it, you know, we 5 points in three games in a week. So at least it's kind of pushes up a little bit up the table. And I mean, you know, as usual, Liverpool and City, one after the other, coming up. But I suppose at the risk of us going out and getting thumped, I mean, there would have been games at the start of the season we'd have been looking at and saying, geez, you know, they're going to be tough ones, you know. But Liverpool, I haven't seen, I mean, bar the 9-0 against Bournemouth, they don't seem to be any great shakes so far this season, you think?
No, they're very sloppy at the back. They're very sloppy all round. They haven't, whether they haven't got going or there's something lacking there at the minute, but that back line is, I'll be honest with you, Tony, he has to play Traore in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Klopp is terrified of him. But I'm telling you, if you have Traore running at that back line, they'll fall under.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where they're weak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, we have to me, he has to start him there. He has to, because I think if he starts him, it'll dictate what the Klopp's tactics, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know. And in fairness to Traore, I couldn't believe it. He came on the pitch. And he jumped three times to the ball, and each time he won the fucking ball.
Yeah.
We had the 6'7" fella jump three times, and he hardly jumped, and he heard and danced.
Yeah, I heard him. He reminded me of your man Lee Chapman. He used to play for Leeds. He used to say he was 6'3", and he was 5'10" when he jumped. You know?
Yeah.
He always seemed to put his head down. But actually, I'd say he probably gave a few heart attacks near the end when he got the ball outside the box on the right-hand side and he tried to beat two or three players. He got a free kick in the end, but it could have easily been waved on, you know.
But, well, when I say that, what he was up to, and I said, it's a fair play. He seems to want to get involved here. But the one thing I just thought I'd say in there, the likes of those players, Nunes and Geddes and that, he seems to like to play with them.
Yeah.
Well,
I think too, Mick, with Traore, like, I mean, he came on against Spurs. But I mean, he came on against a team that were winning 1-0 at home. Like, the game, he never got into the game. He never got a chance to get into the game. Like, when it's the circumstances, when you're coming on against a team that's trying to kill it, you know, that are slowing the game down and that, like, you know, but I mean, Southampton on Saturday were, like, they needed a goal. So they weren't going to, so we couldn't see the Traore because he was in amongst it, you know, he was getting the ball and he was able to run with it. But, so as I say, I was peppering for the last 10 minutes, waiting for the whistle. Yeah, I don't like watching him on television. I'd rather be there, you know.
But it was a great relief when it was all over. I mean, the 3 points in the bag, and say that's more important than anything, you know. It doesn't matter how badly you play or whatever. Once you get the 3 points on the board, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it just, you know, as you say, I haven't been looking the last couple of days, but I assume Rodgers is still in place, is he, at Leicester?
He's just about there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They look actually poor at the moment.
All the signs on Sunday there was players, but not even players arguing, but, I mean, the penalty your man Ndidi gave away, you know, I mean, it could have been 2 or 3 penalties the way he, the many times he pulled the Brighton player, you know, Trossard. So, you know, just the whole atmosphere there seems to be gone to bits, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
money, they're broke, and that's it.
Yeah. Which is hard to believe, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, well, the game they're in, the people who all, well, like, they just got caught with the way that the world recession is at the minute, and that's,
yeah.
Well, of course, they have been fairly good to Leicester all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that a lot of owners are suffering with that, yeah. But I mean the players they have, you know, Tielemans, Madison, you know, Barnes, and they've a great team. I heard were we in for your man Sionshu there last week? I heard a rumor about that, the centre half.
I didn't hear that. No, they're in for it all right for your man, the Belgium centre half. That's out of contract.
Yeah.
They're trying to get him, and they may still get him, but. Our biggest worry is to try and get a centre forward. But the other thing I seen the people were on about was when Wang came on with thing, he got a bit of billing. There was a bit of billing.
Yeah.
Then there was a lot of people then got behind him. I'd never boo a player. No.
One of our own players.
I criticised them all right off. But I've never booed any Wolves player, not even the team.
No.
But some people seem to get on. Because it's not doing any good to anybody.
No.
But I think the manager needs to maybe take him out of the forward line for the minute. Do you know what I mean? He's throwing him in there, and he's partly responsible for what's happening there with him. It's just to bring him in like that, and nobody had much confidence in him. But there was a section to build him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a huge section, but it was very, very noticeable.
It was vocal anyway, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I was looking near the end, Neves got a ball down in that same corner, and he turned and he hit it. But he hit it a bit harder than Wang hit it against Newcastle. But it came right out across the arc outside the penalty area, and it landed with a Southampton player, but it was about 30, 35 yards out. But, like, you know, I said to myself, Jesus, if he did it, you know, he wouldn't get the same treatment Wang got, you know. But, like, it was just one of those things, like, you know. But unfortunately, you know, everything Wang touches at the moment turns to dust, you know. He's not having any luck in anything. But, I mean, you need some fellas react, you know, when the fans get in their back, and some fellas, you know, as you say, need the arm around them, and, you know, they need to be, their confidence be built up again. So they'd be hoping he's, because there's rumours of him going to Leeds and all that, but, like, he's with us now anyway for the next few months at least, so we have to trade him.
But they're talking about, Tony, this weekend, like, if they don't get your man Costa in, but, like, they have to give that young fella Chem Campbell. I'm very impressed with that young fella.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they have to give him a run, particularly with Jimenez out as well, you know? And, yeah. Look, there's no point in having an academy, and he is a quality kid.
Yeah.
And throw him in there, you know? He's 17, 18 maybe now, and he's able to get around. But if he gives you 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But he has quality.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose it's one of those things where you'd love to be in a situation where you're a couple of goals up with 10 or 15 minutes to go and throw him in. You know, because at the moment, if he's thrown in with 10 minutes to go, you know, we need a goal to win a game or get back into it, the fans will probably get back on him, you know, putting pressure on him. So.
I don't think they will. And the reason I would throw him in is the players that's there, the likes of Nunes and that, they'll get balls to him that he'll score goals. Yeah. He is a goal scorer.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's where, you know, you'll go back to Nuno. He wasn't afraid to throw young fellas in.
Yeah.
At any stage. And, you know, if you remember going back years ago with the McCarthy, you know, he gave Doherty, Doherty was only 18 or 19 at the time. Yeah. He gave him his debut down at Liverpool. He threw him in.
Yeah.
At half-time, Mark and Andy Carroll. So that young fella has a lot of talent. And you know, it must be terrible demoralising if they're going to bring in a fucking 6 foot fucking stick, you know, fucking, because he's useless.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to wait to see the reaction.
No football brain. The young lad, in fairness, Campbell, has a football brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'd say Costa will probably get it. They'll probably get him in anyway, you know. I'd say what people are saying is the appeals process will, he'll get the thumbs up on that, you know. Hoping anyway. Anybody but Andy. Yeah, so with the you're over in Liverpool on Saturday. Should we finish up?
Yeah. I'm travelling by boat. I'm on the 2 o'clock ferry out.
All right.
I'll be up in Liverpool about 9:15.
Yeah.
And the lads should be down there as well that time. We're arranging the meeting Witherspoons down in Lime Street, you know.
All right. And you're back on the boat then Saturday night
the 2:15. We're half two back. And that, you know, I get a couple of sleep anyway, so that's not too bad, you know.
You'll get a bit of sleep if we win or we draw. You'll have a load of Liverpool supporters with you. If they fucking lose, you won't be getting any sleep.
I'll be in my fucking element.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
No. It won't be the last. I do fancy with the right team, Tony. Something on Saturday.
I mean, the last game of the season, you know, we were ahead for the guts of the game, and we probably should have got another penalty with Gomez when he was pushed, and you know, but being the day that was in it, there was no chance we were going to get something like that. But
I ain't a betting man, Tony, but if I was, I'd be putting a few bob on fucking Neto. Scored this week because he's got one disallowed down there before. He scored, remember that?
He scored last the end of the season, yeah.
And I fancy him because he's missed one or two chances, but he's a big game player, and I think he'll come good on Saturday, you know.
Oh, yeah, hopefully, anyway, because it'll be a great way to start the next few games that'll be tricky enough, you know. Anyway, we'll leave it at Mick. Good luck on Saturday. I'm not home till Monday, so I'll get to watch the game somewhere. So hopefully we'll get something. We won't be greedy. We'll go for 1 point to be happy, but 3 points, it'll be great.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah. Right, I'll see you. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.